We're here at the PGA show, and we've got two-thirds of the Big Three group. We got Len Ziem and Rory Spears together. We've been wandering the show for a couple of days, and like always, the show changes a little bit every year. There's new products, there's new things, there's new clubs, there's new releases, and I'm going to start with Len. As you've wandered the floor the last couple of days, and as you made the loops at Demo Day, so what's jumped out at you so far of being a big deal at this year's show?
Well, you know, there is one thing that I have never seen at this show in the numbers that I have this year, and that is the new devices for getting around a golf course. The old legs are always work there. I prefer those, but I've seen all kinds of golf carts. The golf board that our friend Dave Oretka is among the people pushing looks like a lot of fun. I've got a little tester of that, but I've seen all kinds of different golf carts, one that drives through water, one that looks like a truck, one that you stand up on. You don't you ride it, but you stand up on it instead of be seated. One that has a cooler in the back and clubs in the front. They're all weird-looking contraptions to me, and I don't know how many of them will ever see the light of day, but I know some will. It is kind of giving the show a more of a high-tech feel that I think maybe that I haven't seen before. I found that more interesting this year, the array of new clubs out there. There's always a lot of refinement with the clubs, but every company, as well they should, is promoting their club as the next coming and all that. But nothing there. I wish I could say, gosh, this new club is the most exciting thing that I've seen in years. I just don't have it in the club line.
Well, Len, I've noticed on the equipment side, I've been over at Titleist and Callaway and Wilson and a few other places. And one thing that's been nice, and sometimes these gentlemen are at the show, sometimes they're not, but Titleist right there with both Scotty Cameron from the putter line and Bob Vokey from the wedge line talking about the new SM6 wedges that have just come out. They've got some new product launches, some new golf balls. So Titleist has brought some new launches here to the show. Callaway, Roger Cleveland, their club designer, is here recently launching a new set of wedges. They have some new things coming out on the club line. But one thing that has generated some conversation among what Titleist and Callaway and people like Wilson that are launching new clubs as well is companies that aren't here, and sometimes it's surprising when a big company that makes golf clubs doesn't come to the show. This year, Nike is all visibly absent, and you know, you wonder what kind of message that is from them. You know, obviously they've got Rory McIlroy under contract and Tiger Woods under contract, but yet they don't want a presence at a show like this. I wonder what kind of message that sends to people who believe in their products, and there's obviously a lot of people who don't believe in those products, and I wonder if that's a kickback from their overall sales.
Yeah, I wonder if it is too. I tell you, I was shocked with Nike. That's another matter. That's a real stunner. I mean, they're into every sport big time with everything. The fact that they're not around, I hope it doesn't speak ill of the show, because I think it has had a few more people. This is always, to me, the start of the year, that so many, 40,000 people every year, 1,000 exhibitors, everybody from the golf world is here. The golf organizations are here. Everybody has a presence of some sort. And those are two that I've been coming to this show, I'll bet, most every year for the last 20, I'm thinking. That's the first sign that I can remember of a real significant absentee from the show. I mean, they're here and there. You wonder why a company didn't come, but not with Nike. And
well, Len, one thing obviously that gets unveiled at the show every year is just actually golf apparel, and it seems like it's starting in shoes. A lot of the shoemakers are coming out with more lightweight shoes, more comfortable shoes, more colorful shoes. We're also seeing different things on the apparel side, stuff that isn't as hot in the summer, stuff that keeps you warmer on those cool days, stuff that breathes, stuff that keeps you dry, you know, and any of those things have you seen that have jumped out at you?
And some of them even look good. Now, I tell you, you know what jumped out at me, and I don't remember the name of the shoe now. It's not the FootJoy shoes. They have a nice line, though. They have a beautiful array of shoes there. I got a picture of theirs that I've run on my website that I think really was stunning. But there are shoes that are, I think, if I've read the literature right, they're all rubber shoes. They're supposed to fit all people, all different shapes, different colors. And also there's a, you know, that jumped at me was the Johnny Miller motion-activated golf glove, one size fits all. I think that's going to be popular. It's an interesting concept. I think I don't wear a golf glove. I think they're for sissies. I think you got to play barehanded if you're any player at all. But anyway, those shoes, those things, they're interesting. Whether they, you know, everything here, there's so much of stuff that doesn't come here. It doesn't hit right away. Sometimes it takes years. They make a big splash initially. And we write about it as something new, and then they get lost in the shuffle, and then all of a sudden you see them at enough of the pro shops. And I think that's going to happen with the glove for sure, the Johnny Miller glove. The Zero Friction, I believe that one's called.
Oak Brick, Illinois-based company.
That's right. Oh, I didn't realize that. You know what? Now that you mention it, I do. So anyway, that last night I was at the Club Champion promotional event in which they talked about their new club fitting things. I didn't realize they had 3 stations in Chicago, and now they've grown to 15 around the country. So that's another end of golf that's going to be get popular as we go along. It's a hard thing for guys like you and I to kind of promote it, because there's all kinds of club fitters out there, some bad, some good. Club Champion does it all with all the different brands, so I kind of defer to them on a lot of these expert decisions on it. But you know, it's every year this show has so many new things that I always wind up leaving, and I'm going to leave this year the same way, overwhelmed. If you walked up and down every aisle here at the Orange County Convention Center, you would have had a 10-mile walk. Well, I don't have a 10-mile walk because of some of the stuff I wasn't really all that interested in seeing. But
and I have 12 miles already.
Yeah, I bet you have. But it's a testament that I think that golf is in perfectly fine shape. It's changing. Like any industry, it's changing. There's a lot more push to get more youth events coming, to encourage more youth play, and that's been overdue. I think the industry hasn't done as well as it should on that end for whatever reason over the last few years. Probably they didn't need it, but that's a big plus that's coming out of the show.
Len, obviously golf is a sport that embraces its history and its traditions. We saw the release of the PGA Centennial book, and also a little bit of history that I didn't even know. It was interesting to see the actual old courses and museums replica that they keep almost all the time at St. Andrews. Their claret jug is here. And also I enjoyed seeing something that most people don't realize, that there was actually something the golfers used to play for at the Open Championship, and it wasn't a claret jug. It was a belt. You won the belt. And that was, well, the thing was, though, the interesting part of the history side is when Tom Morris won it 3 times, they retired it. And the following year, since he had the belt, there was nothing to play for. They didn't hold the Open. So the following year, they created the jug and put the trophy out there so that they could start having the Open Championship again on display at the Travel Scotland booth. But a great piece of golf history, and never realized that there was actually something to play for other than the claret jug at the Open Championship.
Yeah, imagine if they kept doing that and they were playing for the belt. It'd be like a heavyweight title fight. It'd really have a different look. We've been interested here in Florida. It's only barely relevant here at the show, but there's a thing here called the Florida Historic Golf Trail. It includes 52 courses that were opened before 1949 and closed to the public for most if not all of that period. And we've played 8 of those courses. It's fascinating to see what they look like now. Some of them, Lake Wales Country, look quite good. The Dubs Dread course in Orlando, a Joe Lee design, quite good. A lot of the others are just still there. but they're really a great reflection. I wish every state had that, has a trail. There's about 50 trails in the country. Some states have more than one, but this is the only one that I know of that's based on golf history, and a lot of them are low-priced things, but they give a real reflection as to what golf was like, and then you come to the show and you see what it is like now. It's staggering.
Len, is there anything that you saw at the show that you're anxious to see them arrive in the pro shops or the golf retail stores this spring back in Chicago?
That's a good question. I guess based on the interview that I just had with some for the LPGA personnel, I'd like to see promotional stuff for the International Crown, which is coming to the Merit Club, a site change over the off season. But to me, it's an event with a format that I really like, and I hope the event is going to continue to be a big success. I think the first event 2 years ago was, and I think this one has had a little organizational problems. Nothing major that can't be overcome. But I'd like to see a heavy-duty promotional blitz for that event because I think it's very good for golf and very good for women's golf.
Well, I spoke with Craig Kahn, the communications director from the LPGA, and he says that blitz is about to start. And so I think golf fans back in Chicago are going to start hearing a lot about the Crown right away. And they realize that it is a springboard to the other two women's events coming in 17 to Olympia Fields and 2018 to Kemper Lakes, the KPMG LPGA PGA Championship. So they realize that this is a big market, and they really want to make a splash, not only for golf, but for women's golf and growing the game and letting the junior girls realize that there's a spot for them to play golf as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one thing we should really be abreast of on that one, this particular year with the BMW Championship moving to Crooked Stick in Indianapolis, PGA Tour stop isn't here. The John Deere Classic gets a little bit of a different date, being pushed back into August opposite the Olympics. The biggest golf event in Chicago this year is the International Crown at the Merit Club. And I think it's a good thing. It's a good thing to spotlight that and a good run-in for the bigger LPGA events that are coming in the years after that.
Well, it's amazing to go from zero to two web.com events, two new ones.
That's
in
right.
The same year, both the Rust-Oleum one at the Ivanhoe Club in Lake County, and then one now being called the Land of Lincoln Championship down in Springfield at Panther Creek Club that used to play host to the State Farm LPGA event.
Yeah, I covered an event at Panther Creek, a state amateur, I believe it was, a recent year. It's a good track. Good track, but you know what I think on that, on the web.com side, great that tour is back because that may be the best spectator offering in golf. You can get up close and personal and really see some great young players play. And I think it's long overdue that Ivanhoe hosted a big event like that. Ivanhoe's a good facility, and I'm glad that they're in the mix now for not just this year, but for a couple of years after that, beyond. So that's a good plus for this season. Makes me excited. It's an early season event, too.
Len, one thing that you've been doing, of course, I do my share of it too as well, is we travel around and we try to find travel destinations. And the Zeem machine's been rolling across the country this year, finding new courses, new resorts. And some of those courses and different resorts are represented here at the show. Is there anybody on the travel side that you'd really like, that maybe that we don't see a lot of publicity or ads for up in Chicago that Chicago golfers might enjoy a trip to?
I tell you, you're right about that. They created a travel pavilion here at the show for the first time. It's very small, though. That's one thing that I think this show could offer more of as travel destination stuff. The Chicago Golf Show, which is coming up in Rosemont next month, does a great job of producing that kind of stuff. On my own end, we've been traveling a lot. We've been only in Chicago 8 days since October 1st, so we've hit a lot of golf spots. And I think that a couple that are real good destinations and goodbyes are Wild Dunes in South Carolina, just relaunched a redo of what was the first original 18 done by Tom Fazio. I really like that.
Charleston area.
Charleston area, yes, Charleston area. And the best of them all is Bandon Dunes with all the courses it has there. One that people ought to think about again is La Costa. That has been a longtime popular destination in California, but I think that it kind of got overshadowed with all the building and then the big tournaments, and it fell off the tournament schedule. Very pleasant place to go to, though. Very pleasant. It's got a lot of. It's got some real staunch followers that I think that people who haven't been to La Costa would benefit going there rather than some of the old ones.
Well, then, both you and I shared some time in different months apart in Santee, South Carolina, mm-hmm. that has some wonderful golf. And if your budget is not for courses that charge $300 or more a round, Santee not only is a better price, but it's quality golf as well. Down here in Florida, you've already seen it since they've reopened it. I'm looking forward to seeing it this weekend. But the home of the Valspar Championship on the PGA Tour, where people like Kevin Streelman and Luke Donald have won the Innisbrook Resort. The Copperhead course has just reopened about a month ago, and I know that you wrote a little bit about that. And then also Streamsong Resort here is expanding again. The pictures are up here at their booth. Gil Hanse building the third course. If you're thinking Florida and thinking Streamsong right now, especially if you're out on the blue course by Tom Doak, there's some great spots there where you can look over and see the handiwork of Gil Hanse. And if you ever wondered how some of these guys put a golf course together, especially some of these type properties, while you're out there playing, take a look over and see guys of Gil Hanse's team that are creating the bunkers and the greens and the tees on Streamsong Black, which I'm sure when it opens in autumn of 17 is going to draw a lot of attention.
Yeah, I would defer to you on Streamsong. I've been there, but I'm not near as familiar with that location as you are. However, I have been this year to two of the Salamander Collection places, Innisbrook in the Tampa area and Reunion in the Orlando area. Big resorts, multi-course kind of deals. Reunion, I just went there for the first time. They have a Watson, a Nicklaus, and a Palmer course. Tricky courses. Not the Palmer course is the hardest Arnold Palmer course I've ever played. Some say they're tricked up too much, but the with the Nicklaus course being the best. And of course, I always think the world of the at Innisbrook Copperhead course that hosts the Valspar. But there are three other courses there that Larry Packer designed. I think that's a nice, comfortable place to go for a golf getaway or a long term stay or whatever. It's a lot to offer there.
All right. Any final thoughts as we wrap this up on the show? And any thoughts for all of our golfers at home where it's not a deep freeze winter, but I'm sure by now people are getting a little itchy to get back outside or at least get over to some of our local golf domes and hit the golf ball?
Yeah, I've, of course, been away a long time, but the spring is, it's not that far off. We'll be playing golf in March in Chicago, I'm sure. And I hope the domes are getting a lot of play. They generally do, but I would encourage all the golfers in Chicago to, as soon as the snow is even half gone, to get out on a course and play. There'll be a lot of courses out there that'll welcome you just as soon as there's any chance of getting out to play. And it's really invigorating and nice and gets the winter blues over, and to get out on a golf course and play. Be if it only 9 holes, get out there and do it.
Well, that was Len Zeem, and you'll find Len still contributing this spring as we lead up towards the Masters and the real start of golf season in Chicago. Len will be found in the Daily Herald yet from time to time. Also, don't forget LenZeemOnGolf.com. The Zeem machine will be traveling here around the southeast a little bit for a couple of more months, finding some more resorts and other golf courses for Chicago golfers to play. And as for me, Rory Spears, I'll be playing a few more golf courses before we come north. Look for those stories in the weeks ahead on golfersongolf.com, and keep it here and follow Len and Rory through both of our websites and on Facebook and Twitter as well. Thanks for joining us for our 2016 PGA Merchandise Show podcast report.